الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah of Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. And we have been dealing with the verses dealing with some of the names and attributes of Allah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And among the things that we have established, which everybody here should understand by now, is that the attributes of Allah are more vast than the names. We said one name can indicate more than one attribute, and there are attributes that do not even have names. Like the negative, the things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates deficiency from Himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it says Allah, no sleep overtakes Allah, no slumberness, things of the sort. This is not a name, but it is a quality of perfection coming in the form of negation. And last week, we were dealing with two qualities of Allah, which are?
Ruling, wisdom.
Alimul Hakim. Well, yes, the Al-Hakim includes both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the best of judges and the most wise. And how this is understood and how this should make us submit to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the law that He has legislated. Because we understand in the depth of our heart that is coming from the most wise, from the best of judges. So anything that Allah had ordered us Muslims to do, then ultimate goodness is therein. But the problem is that people sometimes almost don't believe that. So Allah will tell them not to do something, and then they will do it, and then they will suffer the consequences. Because they don't believe truly that this is not good. You tell someone about riba, say, akhi, riba is haram and this. And if they really believed, there will be no negotiation. You know, if they really believed, it's case closed. You leave it on riba, you have what you've earned, and you will not be oppressed. لا تظلم, you will not oppress anyone and you will not be oppressed. But the person really may not believe. He believes in the six pillars of Iman. But his Iman is not at a point where he's willing to submit and know that this is from Allah. Something's still telling him but riba is going to be good. But there may be some goodness in riba. Huh? So that's why as if he doesn't believe that Allah is the most wise. And what Allah forbade is ultimately good for him. So inshallah, the more good deeds we do, the more our Iman will increase, the more we'll be able to submit to everything that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everybody should have a good understanding inshallah about these two qualities. Today, and that was in Surah Al-Tahrim verse 2. The very next verse in Surah Al-Tahrim verse 3 says at the end of it, وَقَوْلِهِ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Al-Alim is the same one we used in the earlier one, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. So we said Al-Alim is the all-knowing, which is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So this is dealt with already. Now there's a new one, Al-Khabir. Al-Khabir. Yes, sir. Al-Khabir can be translated in more than one way. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. One translation is the acquainted. The acquainted. And another one is the all-aware. And the meanings are close. The acquainted, when you are acquainted with something, meaning you have precise knowledge of it, okay? And then the all-aware, obviously, you are aware of everything. Nothing misses you. And this is really part of knowledge, but it is more specific. And the Shaykh will break that aspect down. He says, in his sharh, Al-Alim sabaq al-kalamu fi. Allah being all-knowing has already previously been discussed. No need to repeat that. Al-Khabir. هو العليم ببواطن الأمور. It is the knowledge of the inner aspects, the deeper aspects of things. Huh? The deeper aspects, barakallahu fiqh, of things. فيكون هذا وصفا أقص بعد وصف أعم. So this will be a form of more precise description, more exact description after a general one. General one is knowledge, ilm. More specifically, knowing the details of things is al-khabir. Al-alimu bi-zawahir al-umur wal-khabiru bi-bawatin al-umur. Al-Alim, the all-knowing of the outwardly aspects of things. Al-Khabir, of the inner aspects of things. The little minute details. Every little thing, as we gave examples before. Of course, they're all included in the ilm. But the Shaykh will give us some examples to better understand why this is the case.
Al-Khabir has one more meaning. Al-Khabir, superior, it's bigger.
No.
Al-Khabir.
Al-Khabir.
Khabir.
Not Kabir.
Yes.
Hey, Al-Khabir, that's another thing from Khibra, and in the يعني, language context, Khibra is experience. Someone tells you, you know, what's your Khibra? What's your experience in this field? You say, I have 20 years of Khibra in technical support. Hey, so Khibra with a kha. Like the jim and the ha with a dot. Kha. No, ya shabab, naga.
Last word of the last row.
Right there.
Khaf,
aywa. Yakhsha, khashya.
Khabir,
aywa, khawf.
Khair,
exactly. That's the closest one. So kha, khabir. The all-knowing, the all-aware. Okay, the well-acquainted. And not the other one, al-kabir. Wallahu khabirum, aywa. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all acquainted with what you do. Like in Surah Al-Hashr, the end of Surah Al-Hashr. طيب. So we understand the difference now. طيب, alhamdulillah. Maybe it was the problem with my pronunciation. Forgive me if this is the case. Either way, so Al-Alimu بِظَوَاهِرِ الْأُمُورِ, he knows the outwardly things. Al-Khabiru بِبَوَاطِنِ الْأُمُورِ, the well acquainted and all aware of the inner aspects of things. فَيَكُونُ الْعِلْمُ بِالْبَوَاطِنِ مَذْكُورًا مَرَّتَيْنِ. So then the knowledge of knowing the inner aspects is mentioned twice. مَرَّ بِطَرِيقِ الْعُمُومِ, once in a general way, through saying Al-Alim. وَمَرَّ بِطَرِيقِ الْخُصُوصِ, another one in a specific way, through the word or the attribute Al-Khabir. لِأَلَّا يُظَنَّ أَنَّ عِلْمَهُ مُخْتَصًا بِالظَّوَاهِرِ. So no one will think that Allah's knowledge is only deals with the outwardly things. For example, Allah only, like for example, the word Al-Alim, maybe someone will understand that Allah only knows the appearance. For example, pertaining to our body, Allah knows maybe how many hairs, you know, if not maybe, Allah knows how many hairs we have in our body, how many cells and what have you. But maybe someone will not think that this includes your thoughts and everything that is more precise and detailed. So Al-Khabir is to remove that misconception and to affirm that Allah's knowledge deals with both the outwardly things and the inner minute details. طيب. Then he will give us some examples where this comes actually. وَكَمَا يَكُونُ هَذَا فِي الْمَعَانِ يَكُونُ فِي الْعَيَانِ. This methodology in the language is actually mentioned in the Quran. Sometimes it is in terms of meanings, and sometimes it is in terms of specific things. يعني when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something general, then something specific that falls under this general. Something general, then something specific that falls under this general. For example, Allah says in Surah Al-Qadr, تَنَزَّلُ الْقَدْرِ, إِنَّ أَنزَلُوا فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, القدر عفواً, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. The angels and the spirit descend therein. Now, الرُّوحُ, who's the ruh?
Jibreel.
Isn't Jibreel from the angels?
Yeah.
So when Allah says تنزل الملائكة والروح, what is that? Specification after, وعليكم السلام, after general. Otherwise Jibreel is included in the ملائكه. If it wasn't mentioned, then the word ملائكه will suffice. The angels descend, Jibreel is included. But he was mentioned specifically as a specific mention after a general which he's already included in.
Exclusive.
Anyway, almost like exclusivity. This is mentioned, not really exclusivity because it still mentions the others. But this is to give more emphasis. More emphasis. Aywa. The Shaykh said, Ar-Ruhu Jibreel, the spirit is Jibreel alayhi salam. Wa huwa min al-Malaika, he is from the Malaika. Fanaqulu min al-Malaikatu wa minhum Jibreel. The angels and among them is Jibreel. Wa qassa Jibreel bil-dhikr tashrifan lah. Jibreel was mentioned by name as means of honoring him. As means of honoring him. وَيَكُونُ النَّصُ عَلَيْهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. So now this, he is mentioned twice. مَرَّ بِالْعُمُومِ, once in the general word, مَلَائِكَ, which he's included. وَمَرَّ بِالْقُصُوصِ, one specific with his name being mentioned individually. Now we understand that. Similarly, when we deal with Al-Alim Al-Khabir, because one may think it's the same. If Allah knows everything, so that includes knowing the minute details and the general things. So we say this is available in the Quran, where something general will be mentioned and something more specific is mentioned right after it as means of giving more emphasis on the thought. طيب. The Shaykh said, وَفِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْعَلِيمُ وَالْخَبِيرُ. This particular ayah contains which names of Allah? العليم والخبير. ومن صفاته العلم والخبرة. Knowledge and acquaintance, or being all aware. The name here is equal to the attribute. In this particular case, each name is representing an attribute. We don't have more attributes under these names. The Shaykh said, وَفِيهَا مِنَ الْفَوَاعِدِ الْمَسْلَكِيَّةِ. As for the way we benefit, practical benefit, from this particular knowledge that we will get from this verse, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ بِذَلِكَ يَزِيدُ الْمَرْأَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَخَشْيَةً. That having knowledge of that will increase a person's fear of Allah. Increase a person's fear of Allah. And being يعني, almost submissive. سِرًّا وَعَلَنًا. Both in secret and in public. Because sometimes we may have it the other way around. We're one thing in front of the people and we're something else behind the scenes. So when you know that Allah Azza wa Jal knows the details and He's all aware of everything, you have to be even. You know, we cannot really, you know, pretend to be something on the outside and be something inside. Because if you fool the people, Allah knows. And so that's, you know, you'll have a problem there. Obviously this is not a quality that we should have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil of ourselves. Moving on, now we're done with these verses. Now we're going to come across a set of three verses. Three verses that are very fundamental dealing with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is in Surah Sabah, verse number 2. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقَوْلُهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. He knows what penetrates into the earth. He knows what penetrates into the earth and what emerges from it. And what descends from the heaven and what ascends therein. So he knows what goes in the earth, out of the earth, what comes from the heaven, what goes up to the heaven. What? Who can give us an example of something that goes up to the heaven?
Rain.
What
we open our amal.
Oh.
Good deeds.
Hey, I was looking more for something like that. Jazakallahu khairan. Maalesh, it's good. That's a good point. You're thinking scientifically. Well, actually the verse, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. To him goes up the goodly word, and the righteous deed he raises it up to himself. Who else, what else goes up? The angels. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 years. The angels and the Jibreel and the angels ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day equivalent to 50,000 years. And many other verses which indicate that things go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we already discussed that Allah is above His creation. This should be concluded. We don't need to go over that again. And then there are things that go down from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all of these things. The second verse is in Surah Al-An'am, verse 59. Allah says, وَعَنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ عَفْوًا وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, and with him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them except He, Azza wa Jal. And He knows whatever is upon the earth and whatever is in the sea, and not even a leaf that falls except that Allah knows about it. Not even a grain in the darkness of the earth, nothing that is moist or yani fresh or dry, regardless of the vegetation, the dry and the fresh, except that it is in a clear record. Everything, yani even right now as we're sitting here, somewhere in the jungles, there's a leaf, you know, تَسْقُطُ وَرَقَ, as Allah says, there's a leaf just flying off the branch, about to hit the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about it. The speed of falling, you know, the amount of wind, that is causing it to swing the whole nine yards. Things that are even scientifically we cannot study. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exact knowledge of that. This is all from khibra, being all, well acquainted, all aware, and knowledge obviously. And third verse is, there are four verses actually. Third verse is in Surah Fatir, verse 11, وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. And no woman bears or conceives a child, nor does she deliver it except with his knowledge. No child is conceived by his mother or delivered except with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, Surah At-Talaq, divorce, verse 12, Allah says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So you may know that Allah is over all things competent. Yani, omnipotent. He's able to do all things. There's nothing that is beyond Allah's capability. And that Allah has encompassed everything in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed, قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Everything has been encompassed with the knowledge of Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. So these are the four verses, and the Shaykh will break them down in somewhat of a precise detail. Alhamdulillah, detail. Beginning with the following. أَشَّرَحْ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ فِي تَفْصِيلِ صِفَةِ الْعِلْمِ. These ayat, these verses, deal with the detail of the knowledge of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a sample of His knowledge, so we will have better understanding to what extent it is. Al-ayah al-ula, the first one, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. That's it. Surah 7 verse 2. هَذَا تَفْصِيلٌ لِمَا سَبَقَ مِنْ عُمُومِ عِلْمِهِ تَعَالَى. This is breaking down the details of knowledge, the knowledge of Allah, as prior to what has been mentioned previously. ما اسم موصول يفيد العموم. ما is in the grammatically, it indicates encompassment. يعني everything is involved. ما من يعلم ما يلج في الأرض. He knows whatever penetrates into the earth. ما يعني anything and everything. كل ما يلج في الأرض مثل المطر والحب يبذر في الأرض والموتى والدود والنمل وغيرها. Everything that penetrates into the earth, like rain or grains that are, you know, the seeds that are in the ground, the dead, even the dead that are put in the grave, and the worms and the ants and others وغيرها, everything. وما يخرج منها, and what comes out. No, we're not dealing with ascending yet. What emerges from the ground. كالماء والزروع, like water and vegetation. وما أشبه ذلك, and whatever else is similar to that. وما ينزل من السماء, and whatever descends from the heaven. مثل المطر والوحي والملائكة وأمر الله عز وجل. Such as rain and revelation. These are things that come down. Rain, revelation, the angels, and the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commandment of Allah. وما يعرج فيها, and what ascends therein, كالأعمال الصالحة والملائكة والأرواح والدعاء, like the righteous deeds and the angels and the souls, and the souls and the supplication, all of these go up. And of course the souls, you know, when a believer, a righteous believer dies, as it was mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the long hadith of Jabir, I believe it's Jabir, that this, when the soul dies, and the angels of death, the angel of death comes with his assistants, and they have a shroud with the best smelling musk, and then they take the soul out in a very major ease, very easily, just like the drip, like the drop of water just falling off the tip of the faucet. This is how easy it is to withdraw the soul of the believer. Then they will shroud it with the shrouds, and they will take it up to the heaven. And when they make it to the first heaven, it will be said, what's this good smell? They will say, this is such and such, the son of such and such. And so then they open the doors, the gate of the first heaven will be open. And then the soul will continue to rise until it goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will say, write the book of my servant, fi aliyin, as in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Inna kitab al-abrari la fi aliyin. So then it will be written in, as such, and then the soul will be sent back to the grave, and then of course the garden, the grave will expand, the distance of the eyesight. The person has long, big legs. Although if you open it, you won't see nothing, because this is already the hereafter. Don't think you're going to open it and say, oh, mashallah, what is this grape? Huh? Then the person, a window will be open for him to his place in Jannah. And it will be said, this is your place in Jannah. So then he will say, Allahumma aqim as-sa'a. Oh Allah, let the hour begin. Let the hour take place. Khalas, he wants to go to Jannah already. This is not the case with the disbeliever and the wicked. Now,
so he will be here in this earth at the time when he will see that window.
Naam. A window will be open for him to his location, his residence in Jannah.
His destiny.
And he will get to see it. Actually, it comes in narration that first, it will be shown his place in the fire. Yep. And it will be said to him, this was going to be your place. Had it not been for this, then he will be shown his place in Jannah.
So before question and answers, before answering, we come to know that our place is in Jannah.
Naam. Inshallah. These are the narrations of the Prophet
ﷺ.
Now, yeah, this because you are already known. You know, the Malaika, from the time of the day, they already give you glad tidings. لا خوفٌ عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No grief. Don't grieve about, you know, what has passed. And don't be sad about what will come in the future. Everything has been given security. The salamun alaykum tibtum. The angels will speak to them. That's why you see some people die with a smile on their face. Because khalas, they've already known. Hala, of course. Then people say, okay, then what about the Day of Judgment and the fear of the Day of Judgment? Allahu A'lam, how, you know, some of the scholars, the way they understand this is that what you will know in the grave is one thing. Nonetheless, when the Day of Judgment takes place, then this is a whole new thing where you will feel, you know, anxious again, and you will have the general fear, although Allah will give you the security and keep you firm. But no matter what, the Day of Judgment and the scary events of the Day of Judgment will affect even the believer who already feels tranquility. So يعني, no one will, it will still encompass us to a certain extent, but it will not be like the disbelievers or like the hypocrites who really are totally not knowing, or they know they're going to be punished, because the kafir will also know from the time the angel take away his soul that he will die. And I seen on a live clip of a soccer player dying in the field.
Yeah.
You see it where the guy was flipping in his place?
Yeah.
No, not the one who fell on the ground and died. This is another one. He was in his place and he fell. And all of Wallahi, you will not believe this. I will, if you want, I'll send you the link. Then he fell, then he got up. Wallahi, as if he jumped in his place, he made a 360 in mid-air. Fell back on his stomach. And then he continued to he's running backwards like this, flipping, making 360s. Yani, no, not even a gymnast who has a gold medal cannot pull this stunt. This person is being flipped and being pushed, and the people are just around him, you know, watching until the very thing is like this. Yani, you could tell the angels are snatching his soul. As Allah says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ. Hey, this is the souls of the disbelievers being taken like metal that you're trying to pull it through cotton, wet cotton or wool. It doesn't go easily. And you could see him, yani, the snatching of his soul was very, very yani, obvious. Yes, and I'm telling you, he's doing 360s in air backwards. Yani, no human being can do this unless he is in already a phase. And he continued to move back, and they're chasing him. Then by the time the referee, then he stood like this and boosh, face first on the ground, dead. So this is called Su al-Khatima wal-Iyadu Billah. A bad end. You finish your life while you're on a soccer field. You know, this is an indication that this is not the greatest thing. And you could see from the moments of that departure that this was not the best thing. On the other hand, I've seen a sheikh, maybe you've seen it also, who was given a dars. An old sheikh, big white beard, sitting there giving a dars, and they were filming him in the masjid. The film began by filming the people sitting in the masjid, all the way till they make it to the sheikh who's sitting in a chair, old man, and speaking. And then all of a sudden, while he's speaking, he says, and وَهَذَا وَرَضَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ Arabic. He says, وَهَذَا وَرَضَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Then he did like this, wallahi, then he did like this, and whoop, gone. He did not even move. You just see his eyes followed him, and he just went out. And he just died while giving a lecture, while giving a dars. SubhanAllah. And the easiest way possible. Yeah, and all of a sudden he's speaking, next thing you know, he sees the angel of death, he knows this is over. He doesn't freak out, you know, he's in peace. And he leaves his soul left in peace. So look at the two extremes. So these are real things, Yani, of course. This, each one of us is going to have his own personal experience. And we're talking about other people, but one day it's going to be me or you. And so I'm asking Allah to make us among the second, not like the first one. But the idea is that the person will know from the very moment what his destination is going to be. Because they'll be giving glad tidings or otherwise, whether you're a believer or not. Then the day of judgment is the day of judgment. Even the prophets on that day, they will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, Allahumma sallim, oh Allah, Allah, keep us in peace. They are the prophets. Are they going to go to Jahannam? Never. But they were still worried and concerned on the day of judgment, because this is the nature of the day of judgment. But Allah will give the believers tranquility and peace so that they will be permitted to Jannah, inshallah.
It is said that in the day of Jannah, the day of judgment, that the human being, he will be drawn in his perspiration, so it will be equal for...
No. Even the hadith mentions that some will be drawn into their ankles, some to their knees, some to their... Some are completely up to their nose.
Yeah,
those who were the most wicked. So the more evil the person was, the more he'll be drowning in his own sweat and perspiration, depending on evil. The believers will be sitting under the shade. The believers, the seven under the shade of Allah, will not be having any sweat. They'll be under the shade of Allah the day where there's no shade but Allah's shade, having a good old time. We will deal with this in one of the lectures, inshallah, at the IMC. You will get to check that out. The hadith, a lecture about the seven under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What about other believers other than these seven?
There are other narrations which indicate that other brothers are also, other Muslims or believers with other qualities are involved. So it is not restricted to the seven. There are more. But these seven, no. Yani, you must have done them at one point in your life if you're really a believer. You know, being at, your heart being attached to the masjid, or loving a brother for the sake of Allah, or giving donation in a secretive way, or a just ruler, or a young man brought up upon the obedience of Allah, or a person who a woman called to himself beauty and status, and he said, I fear Allah, or a person who remembered Allah in seclusion and cried. If you've done any one of these seven at one time in your life, you fall under this narration. So it's, yani, any believer who is really upon the path will be included in these seven, inshallah. So they will be under the shade of Allah, while the rest of the people will be suffering. And the day of judgment is equal to 50,000 years for those who will be drowning in their sweat, whereas for the believer it comes in a narration from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is equal to the time between Dhuhr and Asr.
Yes.
So big difference.
I heard somebody said 1,000 years, not 50,000.
50,000 years. 50,000 years is in the hadith.
The Quran, the Shaykh also quote the Quran. He's not a bad Shaykh, he's a good Shaykh.
No, of course.
He was not. He's a.
That's what he was in the
Quran. He says, Alpha Sanatim
Mimma Ta'udun Aywa. Nah, but these verses, even the verse that he's mentioning, as far as I remember, the context does not deal with the Day of Judgment. Does not deal with it either way. As far as I know, the book, there's a book called Rihla ila Dar al-Akhirah, A Journey to the Life to Come, to the Hereafter.
Yeah.
I remember from the narrations, it mentions it's 50,000 years. Hey, as far as I know, Allahu A'lam. Either way, the scholars may differ regarding things of this sort. Whatever the case may be, the days on that day are not equal to the days of our lives. So even 1,000 years, the day in 1,000 years may be much longer than the day that we consider a day today. And it may not be 24 hours. Because towards the end of the time, this will no longer be the case. It says that Isa will be here for 40 years. But they say these 40 years will be like, last a long time. Hey, so yani, the time is under the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may fluctuate depending on the will of Allah. So it may not be the same, even if it's 1,000 years. But as far as I know, it's 50,000 years. And I've heard this from many sources. I've read it as well. Anyways, it's good to investigate these things, to be more specific, inshallah. See what is the correct opinion.
And what about you told that all the rule is that the Yom Kiyamah, you said even the Prophet, they are saying Nafsi, Nafsi, and then what about the person who died in the Saliyam, and then you said it a while ago, he opened a window of the Jannah in his pit of the earth, in the grave, right? So the person, he knows his destiny, that where he is going to be, right?
Yes.
So the person also, he will maybe the same in he'll ask about, worried about his name.
Of course, naturally, if the prophets, whom first Allah did not allow the earth to consume their body.
Body.
So they have their life, even their life in the middle stage, the barzakh, is different than the life of the average human beings. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what kind of, what Allah will give them in comparison to the average person. And on the Day of Judgment, you know, they will not even dare to speak to Allah. When they will go to Adam to intercede, the human beings to intercede just to, for the judgment to begin, he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, go to Nuh. And Nuh will send them to Ibrahim. None of them will even want to take part of asking Allah to begin, because they say Allah غضب اليوم غضبا, Allah will be angry on that day in such a way where no one will even get to interfere. The only one who will do it is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will take that particular role. So that indicates that even the prophets and the messengers, you know, will just be in this the Day of Judgment. That's just the way it is. Yani no one will feel the security. It may come. But at one point, this day will encompass everyone. Just like the hugging of the grave. Yani everyone will be hugged by the grave. Yani the grave will kind of be confined on a person. Even Sa'd, the Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone was to be saved from that, it would be Sa'd. He died as a shaheed. And even, you know, the grave gave him that. So some things everyone will undergo. And among them is the Day of Judgment, and the affair of the Day of Judgment, and the fear of the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give security to the believers, and they will feel, you know, the good things that they feel, and then they will know that they go to Jannah. But it must be at some point that the people will panic, you know, and just worry about themselves. This is just obvious from the narrations, from combining the narrations and the verses in the Quran. This is not the aqeel al-wasitiyya now.
One more question. Is there any authentic hadith that somebody said that someone in a dream of some sahaba after his death, and then they asked him, how do you feel the pain after death? So he was saying that suppose that there is a horn bush with the horn or this. So you will put that your nose, and if you will attach it, then how it feels, that much pain I got.
Yeah, well. First, revelation.
Ask the authenticity of this.
Yeah, well, we could take it back to the foundations. First of all, whenever we need to find authenticity, it's upon the quote, the one who quotes the narration, to give us the reference. Otherwise, people will come up with a million things, and then they will tell the other people to look for it. It's not this way. It's the other way around. When someone tells you that, say Barakallah Fik, where did you get this hadith from? He has to give you the narration. Then we study the narration. We tell him this is unacceptable. Not the other way around, you see? Because people will tell you all the dreams, it will open a door that you can never close. That's number one. Number two, let's go back to the foundations of Islam, regardless of this particular hadith. The concept that people will get revelation, because when the Prophet ﷺ teaches us something about the deen after his death, is a form of revelation. And we know that with his death, ﷺ, the revelation has been concluded because the deen has been perfected. So for some new knowledge to come through the methodology of dream negates the foundations that we have in Islam. You see what I'm saying? Because here, this is a teaching. He's teaching something which he did not teach us during his life. And we cannot believe that he will leave alone something, you know what I'm saying, during his life that he would not tell us about, because he said there's nothing that will get you to Jannah except I told you about it, and nothing will protect you from the fire except that I told you about it. We will not believe that after he died and he didn't tell us, he will tell us through a companion in a dream. You see? If someone seen him in his dream, alayhi salam, and only saw him or spoke to him without any teachings, then yes, people will do see the Prophet salam in their dream. But once he's trying to give you a new Islamic knowledge, which we didn't have during his life, then this is unacceptable. Yeah. Because we cannot, otherwise, you know the story that they claim the guard of the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, his name is Sheikh Ahmed, whatever they say, that he's seen in his dream the Prophet ﷺ telling him, be careful, somebody's trying to dig my grave, supposedly some Jews came, and the whole big story. So when the ulama dealt with this, they said this is impossible. We know that this story is a fabrication. There are many indications that it's a fabrication, because of this idea that the Prophet ﷺ is telling someone, you know, knowledge and things of this sort, which is no longer the case. It cannot be the case. Otherwise, every day someone will come and say, oh, Muslims, and I've received emails like this. You know, the messenger, I see the messenger, he said, Make dua for your brothers in Palestine. Sheikh Ashbek. Every day, if you open this door, wallah, you never close. I see in Rasul in my dream and he said, you should jump out of the window. What are you going to do? I mean, you have people, akhi, coming with weird stuff.
We also are getting such type of funny things. But
yeah, but I'm saying, we're trying to deal with the foundations of Islam. That Allah says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. The deen has been perfected. So we will not learn anything after that verse. After that verse is nothing to learn anymore. Because Allah says the deen is kamil, perfect. So for someone to give us a description about how things are, after that verse cannot be the case. Because it negates clear verses that are not ambiguous. Wallahu alam. Anyways, I forgot where we were. So we were dealing with the dua, also goes up, ascends to the heavens. طيب. وهنا قال وما يعرج فيها فعدي الفعل بفي. وفي سورة المعارج قال تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه فعداه بإلى. وهذا هو الأصل. He deals with the grammar here that he says يعرج فيها, ascends in it, and he used في, which is in. In سورة المعارج Allah says تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه to. So في means in, وإلى means two. He said, وَهَذَا الْأَصْلِ. And linguistically, this is the principle that you say, it ascends to Allah, you know, through the heaven, not in the heaven. فَمَا وَجْهُ كَوْنُهُ عُدِّيَ بِفِي فِي قَوْلِهِ يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. So why does it say, يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا, ascends in it? فَالْجَوَابَ اخْتَلَفَ نُحَاتِ الْبَصْرَ وَالْكُوفَ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا. Allahu Akbar. The linguists are actually, if you've ever studied the Arabic language, there are two. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars, the linguists, the scholars of the Arabic language. And one of them are from Al-Basra, and the other ones are from Al-Kufa, طيب, and they're in Iraq. So basically, we had two set of ulama of the language. And the same way the scholars in Islam differed about some aspects of the deen, we had these brothers as well differing in the language. Where someone will say this is correct, and someone will say that is correct, and this is from the wisdom of Allah. قال فقال نحات البصرة إن الفعل يضمن أو يضمن معنى يضمن معنى يتلائم مع الحرف. I'm not gonna deal with this grammar because it's irrelevant to all of us, including myself. وقال نحات الكوفة بالحرف ويضمن معنى يتلائم الفعل. Anyways, البصرة said that the verb contains a meaning that is that goes in harmony with الحرف, which is the حرف, you know, في إلى إلى آخره. And the ones of the Kufa said, but the harf contains a meaning which is suitable or in harmony with the verb. فعلى الرأي الأول يكون قوله يعرج فيها مضمنا معنى يدخل. فيصير المعنى وما يعرج فيدخل فيها وعليه. والله I'm gonna bypass this. Although I always like, I want to read everything, but I think this is totally relevant to us. المهم الآية الثانية. No, the end of it says, ففي الآية ذكر الله عز وجل ذكر الله عز وجل عموم علمه في كل شيء بنوع من التفصيل ثم فصل في آية أخرى تفصيلا آخر. So anyways, this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his knowledge in somewhat of detail. But there's another verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it in even more detail. And this is the one that we said, and to him, with him are the keys of the unseen. None knows it except him, Azza wa Jal, and he knows whatever is upon the earth and whatever is in the sea. And there's no leaf that falls except that Allah knows about it, not even a grain in the darknesses of the earth, not fresh nor dry, except that it is in a clear record with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعِنْدَهُ أَيْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. With him, meaning with Allah. عِنْدَهُ, the ha here is in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ خَبَرْ مُقَدَّمْ. And it is something that is khabar, which is usually the information has been put forward for exclusivity. مَفَاتِحُ مُبْتَدَى مُؤَخَّرْ. And مَفَاتِحُ, which is linguistically usually is in the beginning, has been delayed, just to indicate exclusivity, like إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, as we have mentioned many times before. وَيَفِيدُ هَذَا التَّرْكِيبَ الْحَصْرِ وَالْأَخْتِصَاصِ. This is done in order to indicate exclusivity and specialty. عنده لا عند غيره مفاتيح الغيب. With Allah and not with any other than Allah are the keys of the unseen. وأكد هذا الحصر بقوله. Then Allah emphasized this exclusivity by saying لا يعلمها إلا هو. None knows it except He, Azza wa Jal. ففي الجملة حصر بأن علم هذه المفاتيح عند الله بطريقتين. So in this verse, in this sentence, we have the exclusivity that only Allah has the keys of the unseen in two methods, two ways. إحداهما بطريقة التقديم والتأخير. The first is by delaying what usually comes first and turning the sentence around. والثانية طريقة النفي والإثبات. The other one is by negating and confirming. Negating, because the verse لا يعلمها, none knows it إلا except he. So he negates the knowledge from everyone else and he confirms it to himself. This is like لا إله إلا الله. You negate the divine attributes from all of everything, all false gods, and you affirm it and confirm it to Allah alone. لا يعلمها إلا هو. لا إله إلا الله. So this is a method of exclusivity and power. When you negate the knowledge from everyone else and you affirm it to the... For example, if we say, Muhammad passed the exam. Now there may be another 10 students in the class who passed the exam. That is not really strong. It does not give him any special status. But when you say, everyone failed except Muhammad, that's a whole other story. Now even your concept of him passing the exam is no longer like the one earlier, because now he's unique. Huh? He from everyone else. So this is the concept behind this exclusivity. المهم كلمة مفاتح قيل إنها جمع مفتح بكسر الميم وفتح التاء. It was said that it is the plural of the word مفتح. مفتح المفتاح which is the key. أو أنها جمع مفتاح ولكن حذفت منها الياء. Or it is the plural of مفتاح with the ياء being omitted. وهو قليل and it is not usual. ونحن نعرف أن المفتاح ما يفتح به الباب. We know that مفتاح, the key, is what the door is open, the lock is open with. وقيل جمع مفتح بفتح الميم وكسر التاء. مفتح وهي الخزائن. And it is said it's the plural of another word called مفتح, which is treasures. فمفاتح الغيب خزائنه, meaning the treasures of the unseen. وقيل مفاتح الغيب أي مبادئه. مفاتح like فتح, the beginning, meaning the beginning of the unseen. لأن مفتح كل شيء يكون في أوله, because the مفتح of everything is in the beginning, the early stages. I know this is complicated, but bear with patience inshallah. فيكون على هذا مفاتح الغيب أي مبادئ الغيب. With that, then مفاتح الغيب means the beginning of the unseen, the early stages of the unseen. فأن هذه المذكورات مبادئ لما بعدها, because this is only the Allah mentioning this in order to enumerate the more details afterwards. So this is the intro to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be speaking about. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Al-ghayb, what's ghayb? Unseen. Hey, if someone is absent, what do we say?
Ghaib.
Because he's absent, you don't see him. مصدر غاب يغيب غيبا. It is derived from غاب, absent. يغيب, to be absent, is a verb. غيبا, absent or not being present. والمراد بالغيب ما كان غائبا, whatever is unseen, whatever is not available. والغيب أمر نسبي, لكن الغيب المطلق علمه خاص بالله. And anyways, unseen is something that is relevant. It depends, يعني it's relevant, it has stages. But in the ultimate sense, the ultimate unseen is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذه المفاتيح, سواء قلنا أن المفاتيح هي المبادئ أو هي الخزائن أو المفاتيح, whether it is the introductions of the unseen or the treasures of the unseen or the keys of the unseen, لا يعلمها إلا الله عز وجل. None knows about it except Allah, the Exalted. فلا يعلمها ملك, no angel knows it. ولا يعلمها رسول, and no messenger knows it. حتى إن أشرف الرسل الملكي وهو جبريل. Even the most honorable and virtuous of the angels, the messengers among the angels. يعني because جبريل, the angels, some of them are messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to the messenger, human messenger. So among the angel messengers, جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام سأل أشرف الرسل البشري. So the most honorable messenger among the angels asked the most honorable messenger among the humans. which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who Muhammad alayhi wasallam قال أخبرني عن الساعة. He told him what? ساعة.
Day of judgment.
Hour. Tell me about the hour, and the hour is the day of judgment. A. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. What did he tell him in the hadith of Jibreel? Who remembers?
Three things.
No, that's not what he said.
He said,
listen, I gave you a word, sentence in Arabic, I want it in English. He told them, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ.
He doesn't know more than what is
the question.
The
question, the person who's asking,
he
doesn't know more than what you know.
Exactly. He said, the one being questioned, does not know more than the questioner.
Yeah.
Hey, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنَّا بِعْلَمِ السَّائِلِ. I don't know more than you know. If you don't know, I don't know. Hey, you got confused here, man. طيب. Hey, but I want that. مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ. مَسْؤُولُ is the one question. بِعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. More knowledgeable than the questioner, which is Jibreel alayhi salam.
But many things that we all understand.
Hey, which is that they don't know.
والمعنى
كما أنه لا علم لك بها فلا علم لي بها أيضا. The meaning, he said, the same way you don't have knowledge to Jibreel عليه السلام, the Prophet said, I don't have any knowledge either. فمن ادعى علم الساعة فهو كاذب كافر. So whomever says I know the moment, I know the hour, he said he's a lying disbeliever. And you got a lot of these funny guys, you know, who tell you, you know, the one day 2001, many Christians have already supposedly predicted, although the Christians, may Allah guide them, these people, man. Look, there's a verse in the Bible, that Jesus said that as for the hour, no one knows about it. No one knows about it. He said, not even the angels in the heaven, not even the Son, only the Father. Yeah, and of course, we said Son and Father is a figure of speech. Yeah. He means not even the Father as the one, the caretaker, which is Allah, and Him being the Son, a pious person who believes in Allah. So Jesus clearly said, He does not know the hour. And Christians tell you that Jesus is God. So you tell them, I want to ask you a question. Before you quote the verse, tell them, is it possible that God does not know the hour, the day of judgment? They say, no, it's impossible. God must know. Say, and you say that Jesus is God? Oh yeah, Jesus is God. So then Jesus said in the Bible, He doesn't know the hour. How is he God now? Excuse me, I gotta go. This is what are they gonna say? This is obvious, like the sun. See, but they don't know. They don't read. They just fabricate things.
You have to give the reference, correct reference of that.
Yeah, there's a reference. I have it. I'll give it to you in a little bit, inshallah. The actual verse.
Yeah, otherwise if we want to go to heaven, we should have to.
No, of course. No, I'm telling you that quote, that verse I quoted to you from the Bible. I just have to give you the book, you know, which gospel it is in, and the chapter and the number. I have it in my pocket PC. I'll give it to you in a little bit.
Isn't the Father and Son in the same method?
Yeah, they are religious.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's mentioning the Father and Son.
Yes, that's what the verse says. It says, as for the hour, none knows it. None knows it. Mm-hmm. Not even the angels in the heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
Only the Father, saying,
I don't even know about the hour. So how could He be God and not know about the hour? It's impossible, because the Christian would have just confirmed to you that there's no way that God will not know. Similarly about omnipotence, ability. You tell him, is it possible that God cannot do something? They will say, no, it's impossible. God must be able to do all things. Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 30, I of myself, this one I know, alhamdulillah, I of myself can do nothing. I of myself can do nothing. So then what kind of God is this, man? How are you saying that God can do all things? Jesus is God. Is this equation here? This is an equation, common sense. You know, A plus B equals ila akhiri. If you're unable to prove it properly, then your whole belief system is based on fallacies. And so this is one means of da'wah, inshallah. Now, this is just as a side note. If in case you ever come across a Christian, you can keep things very simple. You give him that, it will take him 20 years to figure it out. And just in case he start asking you, why does a man marry for a woman? Why does blah, blah, blah talk too much? Say, listen, before I answer all these questions, you tell me first. You know, and you give him that one, and you just leave him puzzled in his brain until Allah guides him, if Allah has guidance meant for him. طيب. Then, the hour, none knows, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب so, فلا علم فمن ادعى علم الساعة فهو كاذب كافر. So whomever claims he has the knowledge of the hour is a lying disbeliever. ومن صدقه فهو أيضا كافر. And whoever believes him is a kafir as well. لأنه مكذب للقرآن because by that he is denying the Quran. He is belying the Quran. Because Allah will deal with the verse huh, that إن الله عنده علم الساعة. With Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the knowledge of the hour. And many ويسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكرها. يعني the many verses where Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is, does not know. So if someone says someone knows, then he is belying the Quran. If you belie the Quran, you're no longer a Muslim. So this is obvious why he becomes a kafir. Not just to play around with the word kafir is something that we should hasten to throw out at the Muslim. But if someone truly believes that, after you give him the verses, and he maintains his belief that no, the Day of Judgment is in the year 2055, say so you're no longer a believer. Because you are denying the Quran. We will deal inshallah with the actual verse which deals with the knowledge of the hour. As you know, in the end of Surah Luqman. and the five things that were mentioned that are strict for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because we are approaching time of Isha, and every time we are kind of delaying, I prefer that we all leave this place before the Adhan. At least a minute or two before the brother calls the Adhan, so we could be there early inshallah. So with that, we will conclude this particular dars. Bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal, if we all remain alive to next week, we will continue to deal with the more about the unseen and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to the unseen and the continuation of the explanation of the verse about the knowledge of Allah regarding every aspect of life. So, alhamdulillah, wa salatu salamu ala rasulihi wa ala alihi wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Subhanakallah.